Appreciate those of you who stayed for the second half of the service and to listen to another portion of God's word. We want to finish up the thought that we have brought to you this morning. Continue to talk to you about being drawn of God, how God will teach us. We're in John chapter 6. The people, Jesus has been speaking to them about being the bread of life, how he was the bread of life. And the people were grumbling and complaining, as we saw in the beginning of our text in verse 41 of John chapter 6, where the people mumbling. We'll go back over there and read just a little bit to set us up. And for those maybe who are just joining us for the first time, let's go back over to John chapter 6 and verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. This is Jesus' previous discourse and the verses prior to this. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? In his discourse, Jesus had made the claim that he is the bread from heaven, reminiscent or similar to the people, the children of Israel, how they had received bread and had been fed in the wilderness. And so Jesus saying, I am that true bread that has come down from heaven. And so they're griping at this fact. How can Jesus make this claim? Because we know his father, we know Joseph, we know his mother, we know where he came from. And so the people are grumbling. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So the people, the reason why they're grumbling and murmuring and balking at what Jesus is saying is because they do not know God. And so Jesus says that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So when the Father draws you, then you can come to Christ, and then Christ says, I will raise him up in the last day. He quotes from Isaiah, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who was from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And then he makes his great claim, one of the first of his great claims in verse 48, where he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, the one that you may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And so we look at these words Jesus said and how the people grumbled and stumbled over the fact that he was saying he is the bread that came down from heaven. How could this be? They're looking at Jesus in the physical sense. They knew Jesus as that boy from Nazareth of Galilee. They knew his mother. They knew his father. They knew his legal father, but they didn't know his spiritual father. Jesus' spiritual father was God, Jehovah. Jesus would say, I am the bread of life. And that I am is the same word that was used when Moses was told and instructed to go down into Egypt. And when Moses asked God, who should I say has sent me to come down and get my people out of bondage? And God said, tell him, I am has sent you. Jehovah, the all of the self-existent one, that is the great I am. And so Jesus says, I am the bread of life, similar to what Jehovah said to Moses when he told him, I am has sent thee to go and get my people out of bondage. Jesus now is saying, I am like that bread that came down from heaven. That bread that they ate in the garden, that they ate in the wilderness, they ate that bread, but Jesus said, they're all dead. That bread, they ate it. It did what it was supposed to do. That bread that they ate when they was in the wilderness, that manna that God provided for them, it sustained their life. But eventually, eating that bread sustained their life, but eventually they were going to die. Jesus says, I'm the true bread. I came to give life. As I said this morning, Jesus said, I came to give life. I came to give it more abundantly. If you eat of me, that bread, you have everlasting life. You'll live forever, and you won't ever die. Now, the people get confused here because the people in hearing that Just like the woman at the well, when she heard Jesus in John chapter 4, you go over to chapter 4, when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, when they hear the idea, when she heard the idea that Jesus had some living water, she said, give me some of that living water. Give me some of that so that I won't have to go get water every day. That's all she heard was a physical need. Let me have this living water because I'm tired of having to go fetch and get this water every day. See, back then they didn't have running waters in the house. You had to go out. They had a well, and sometimes it was outside, maybe outside the city limits, or maybe it was a little ways, and you had to go take some buckets and take some things and go out there and then let the bucket down into the water and reel it back up and then empty it into your bucket and then carry it back to the city. That's some tiresome and laborsome work to do that. And so when she hears Jesus says, I have some water that you might thirst, she doesn't hear her spiritual needs being filled. She hears her physical needs. She hears that I don't have to go. I won't have to toil and go out and get it anymore. But Jesus, the living water that Jesus had was his word. He said, I'm going to give you some water that you'll never be thirsty again. Jesus saying, I am the living bread that's come down from heaven. The people will ask the question, so then what do we have to do to get this bread? What must me do? What works must me work in order to get this bread? Jesus, they didn't catch the phrase. Jesus said, I am the living bread that's come down from heaven that the Father will, that I will give you so that you might have everlasting life. The life that Christ is going to give us, the everlasting life, is a gift. We can't do nothing to earn it. It's a gift. It's something that we will, that Christ will give us. But they wanted to do something. So Jesus says, don't labor for the bread that you eat it and tomorrow you'll be gone. He said, labor for that. Instead, if you believe, your labor is to believe on Jesus Christ. If you believe on me, that is what you should do. Not labor, not working, but believing on me. So now we look at how are we drawn to Christ. How are we drawn to Christ? We looked at this similar what Jesus said in John 6:37. Jesus said that everyone that the Father gives to me, this is Jesus in the middle, the Son. Jesus said, whoever the Father gives to me, all of those will come to me. And so the Father gives people to the Son. The Son says that all those that the Father gives to me, that I will raise them up in the last day and they will no ways be cast out. So the question is, how are we drawn to the Father? How are we drawn? And the answer is in verse 45. In verse 44 here, we see the first part. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Well, how are we going to be drawn? It says right here. Now, in verse 45, we're going to be taught of God. We must consider this whole part of this chapter, this whole conversation, because it's a whole. This whole chapter 6 is a kind of a whole conversation. The people had seen Jesus perform the miracle of feeding the multitude. And so now here on this next day in Capernaum, that's when Jesus continues his discourse. Jesus quotes the prophet, particularly Isaiah 54:13, in his answer as proof as what he's concerning what he's saying about Jesus, unless the Father draws you to him. And so in Isaiah 54:13, Isaiah says, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that has heard and learned of the Father comes to me. And so that's Jesus' answer. How are we going to be drawn by God? We're going to hear and we're going to learn from the Father. The prophets declared and they will be taught by God. Being taught by the Father is how we are called and how we are drawn. Jesus explains this even further. Everyone who has heard, everyone who has learned from the Father comes to me. And so if we put these two sentences side by side, as you see here on the screen, we can put them together, the two statements. How are we going to be drawn by God? First of all, Jesus said in verse 44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So you can't come to him unless the Father draws you. Then in verse 45, how are we going to be drawn by God? Everyone who has heard, everyone who has learned of the Father comes to me. It's significant as we see scriptures bear this out in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How are we going to learn? By the word of God. What's good for us? Jesus would even say to Satan when he was tempted in the garden, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we're going to live by not just physical bread, because Satan was trying to tell Jesus to use his own powers to turn stone into bread. Jesus said, I can't live by that, but I can live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So everyone who has heard, you have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But we're going to hear the word of God, every word that comes out of the mouth of God, Jesus said we're going to live by. And we have to learn from the Father. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That doesn't mean just to learn. See, some of us, we look at Jesus' statement, learn of me, and we interpret it as learn about me. See, we're going to learn. There's a lot of people know a lot about Jesus, have learned a lot about Jesus, but they haven't learned of Jesus. You can learn some facts, and you can learn some things about God, and certainly the Jews knew a lot about God, but they had not learned of God. When you learn of God, that means to learn how you operate, how God thinks. What does God like? What does God hate? When we learn of God, we learn to appreciate how God is. See, a lot of people know about God, and they think he's merciful. They all know is that, oh, God is merciful and kind. And so then they'll say statements like this, which let you know that they don't really know of God. They've learned about God. They know that God is merciful. They know that his God is kind. They know God is forgiving. But then they'll make statements like, how could God do this? How could God allow that to happen? And when you hear that, you should just shake your head. You don't know about God. You've learned about God, but you don't know of him. You haven't learned. Jesus said you had to learn of me. You haven't learned, because if you knew, you know that just as the same way that God is merciful and all this stuff, that God will, Jesus, that in the same thing, God said, I will have vengeance upon him that I will have vengeance upon. So you got to know both sides. They want to know one side. They want to know the forgiving and the merciful side, but they don't want to know the vengeance side. I will have vengeance upon him who I will have vengeance upon. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So they don't know the vengeful side. They don't know the wrath of God. Knowing the wrath of God, we do therefore what? Persuade men, because we know his wrath. We know both sides. And so we have to know both sides. It's not healthy for us to know one side. We have to know, just like with your own parents. You knew the good side of mama, and you knew the bad side. You knew that on one end that she could be, they could be, that mamas could be the nicest and sweetest and fixed, but they know, don't get on the other side. Don't you get on that other side of mama, because that wrath and that justice was swift. Just as soon as she could love you and bake you a cake, she could take a switch and whoop you. Amen. So so as you grow up, you got to learn to deal with both of them. And so you figure out quickly, those of us who were smart learned quickly to stay on what? This side. I want to stay on the smiling side. You don't want to stay on the face that was, you don't want this face. You don't want that face. You don't want that this face. And so as you grew up, even without the switch, just for them to say, I'm disappointed. You failed. I'm not pleased with what you're doing. Boy, that was it. I'd rather take the whooping. Just whoop me. But for them to say those words, I'm disappointed. I'm not pleased with what you're doing. Those words would cut you. And so we have to know, just like we know with our parents, we know both sides. You got to know both sides about God. You have to know, appreciate his righteousness and his forgiveness and his temperance. But on the same side, you better know about his wrath. And you better know about his destruction and his destructive side as well. But we look at these two statements. No man can come to me unless the Father sent me draws him. Everyone that has heard, everyone that has learned from the Father will come to me. This is 100%. This is 100 proof. There is no misses. There is no child left behind. There is no failures. Nobody doesn't graduate in this system. Jesus said that that the Father gives me, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent them draws them to me. And then everyone who's heard and learned from the Father will come to me. That's 100%. The reason why you're sitting here today is because you heard from the Father. The Father called you, you've heard, you've learned, and so now you're here. Those that are not here, we can assume and we can know that what? They haven't been drawn by the Father. They haven't heard, they haven't learned, and so they're not here. So this is 100 proof. Jesus was saying, as we saw in verse 37, he said, everyone that the Father gives me, I will raise up in the last day. Well, if somebody don't get raised up in the last day, guess what? The Father didn't give them to the Son.
So in order for you to be in that number, to be raised up, Jesus said, everyone that the Father gives me, I will in no wise cast them out. And in the last day, I'm going to raise them up and present them. So he's given us, he's guaranteeing us what? Everlasting life. If the Father gives them to the Son says, I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to give them everlasting life. And no ways will they be cast out. No one comes unless the Father draws him. Those who've heard and learned from the Father come to him. Therefore, being taught of God is how the Father draws us to Christ. We are taught by God, and that's how we are drawn to Christ. God, we hear God's word. When we hear God's word, and what did Jesus say? What's in God's word? He would say that in John 5:39. He said, the scriptures, they are they that do what? Testify of me. What do the scriptures talk about? They talk about Jesus. All the way through, the scriptures talk about Jesus. They talk about God. They talk about his sovereignty. So the scriptures talk about Jesus, and they, as we hear God's word, they're the things that draw us to Christ. Hearing and learning from the Father is how the Father draws us to Christ, and this is also what the rest of scripture teaches us. Look it over at 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. We'll look at a few scriptures that also bear this out, that we are taught of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through what? He called you through our gospel. Paul said to the Thessalonians that they were called through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, you see that chain. We've been called through what? Through the preaching of the gospel. All those people that Paul preached to, all those churches, Paul went out and he didn't preach. Paul said, like he told the Galatians, he told the Corinthians, I didn't come with excellency in speech. I came to nothing, know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. To the Galatians, he said, I didn't come with my own words. I didn't come with fables, but we came with the gospel. We came to preach to you the gospel. Paul would marvel with the Galatians that they were so turned away from the gospel which he had preached to them. The only thing that can save man is the gospel. We preach the gospel through gospel, God's word. You are called, and then you are able to be drawn to Christ. You do not come to Jesus. The Father must draw him, and he draws you him through his words. And so we look at so many people today that what they say flies in the face of this. So many people that say, oh, just open up and let Jesus come into your heart. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Jesus said, you can't come to me unless my Father calls you. So now how is somebody going to tell people on TV and the radio that they can sit there in their room and in their house, wherever they're at, and just call Jesus' name and just say, Jesus, come into my heart, and Jesus is going to come in? Jesus said the process is you got to be called by my Father. My Father's going to call you. How's he going to call you? He's going to call you through his word. When you get called and you heard and you've learned from him, then you can come to me. And then Jesus said, if you want everlasting life and if you want to see my Father, then you're going to come to me. Once you've been called, you're going to believe in me. You're going to come to me, which means to believe in me. And then when you believe in me, I'm going to raise you up in the last day and you can see my Father. So when you listen to people talk about that they can do other things and there's other ways that they can get to Christ, then you have to go back here. Jesus himself said, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you, unless you're taught of the Father. Again, Paul said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are we going to hear? We're going to hear the word of God, and the word of God is going to allow us to come to faith. How did the Thessalonians, how had they been taught by God? Did God directly speak to each of them? Did God tell them to love one another? Look back over in Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. Paul taught them, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. So how did the Thessalonians learn this? How had the Thessalonians been taught by God? God didn't directly speak to each one of them like he doesn't directly speak to us today. Hebrews 1, God at sundry times and divers manners spoke to the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us what? Through his Son, which is written in the Word for us. No, of course not. We haven't learned because God has spoke to us. Paul had preached the Word to those Thessalonians, the Word of God. But let me ask this important question to you as we look at this lesson. Would the Thessalonians have been doing this scripture said, to be loving one another, had not they been taught? Would they have done that on our own? Would we, of our own devices, would we do what God would tell us to do without having been taught that? Would you growing up be doing what you're doing now if you had not been taught? The answer is no. Those of us who are teachers and educators, we see so many of our kids, and at our kids at a certain point when they should be able to do certain things, they ain't doing certain things. Why? Nobody ever taught them at home. Kids get in school, don't know how to act, don't know how to behave, don't know how to sit down. Why? Shouldn't it just come to them on their own? Shouldn't they just know how to act on their own? No. They got to be taught. Somebody's got to do some teaching at home so that when they get to school, they know how to act. They know how to behave. So the same thing with us. We can't act. We don't know to love each other unless God teaches us to love each other through the Word. Paul preached to the Thessalonians that we need to love God as we have been, love one another as we have been taught by God. And so the Thessalonians wouldn't have been doing that if they hadn't been taught by God. Would they be loving each other as God wanted if they had not been taught? They know they would have not. So we see that what Jesus is trying to teach this audience. You are not near God. None of us are near God. Every person has walked away from God. God has drawn us back to him because left to our own devices, we will continue to walk away from God. Of our own nature, we do not do what's right. The scriptures teaches us, is there any righteous? No, not one. Any of us righteous? None of us are righteous. Left up to our own devices, will we walk toward God or will we walk away from God? Left up to our own devices, we will walk away. We would not do what God instructs us to do. We would not live as God wants us to live, left up to our own devices. So where do we get this knowledge? We got it from God. We've been taught from God. God's word has taught us so that we could. Titus, it says, you know, desire that the word of God teaches us to deny all ungodliness, to live, that we're supposed to live righteously and soberly in this world. Who taught us that? The word of God has taught us. The word of God has appeared and has taught us to live soberly and righteously. Would man live soberly and righteously if the word of God didn't teach it? No, he did not. How many of your friends you know don't live soberly and righteously? We know a lot. Don't we know a lot? We know a lot of people that left up to their own devices choose to live other ways, choose to be imbibed and be the drunk on the frivolities of life. Why do we do what we do? Because we've been taught by God to do better. We know better. If it was left up to our own devices, Paul said, such were some of you. We'd be right out there with them. But why? We have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified by what? Washing and regeneration, renewing by the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God has changed us. God has taught us to behave differently and act differently. So that's why we act differently, because we have been drawn by the Word of God. We've been taught. Left to our own devices, we will walk away from God because none of us is near God. Jesus would say here, he said, none of us have seen God. The only one that has seen God is the one that came from God. And who was that one? It was Jesus. Jesus said, none of you have seen, have any of you heard God? Have any of you seen God? Jesus would say the only one that's heard or seen God is what? The one that is sent. And right now they were in unbelief as Jesus was right there in the midst because they didn't believe he was the one that was sent from God. And so left up to our own devices, we would not do what God would have us to do. Jesus said that no one is good except God alone, Mark 10 and 18. We are lost and blind sheep that need to be drawn back to the shepherd. God is calling people and drawing people to Christ through the living word. Without God's revelation, no one would be saved. Without God's revelation, no one would come to Christ for
eternal life.
How would you come to Christ? What would you even know if it wasn't for God's word? You wouldn't know about Christ. You wouldn't know about eternal life. How would you even know to want eternal life if God's word hadn't told you that eternal life was possible? How would you even know that there's a possibility that you can live forever, that you can live on and have life after this? How do we know this? Because the word of God tells us that. The word of God tells us that there's life after this. People that don't have the word of God and people that don't believe in the word of God, what do they think? That after this life is over, that that's it. Why do you think they party so hard and do what they do and go to the excesses that they run to? Because they think this is it. They blow it out. They let it hang all out. There's no time greater than this. They do everything because they think this is it. And so when they die, they're going to be just like Rover. They're going to be dead all over. But see, those of us that know better, those of us that have been taught by God, we don't live like that because we know that there's something after this. Why? Because God's word done taught us. God done taught us. And so because of God's word done taught us, has done drawn us to Christ because we know there's a possibility for eternal life. And the only way we're going to get to that eternal life is if God's word calls us, it draws us to Christ. And then when we come to Christ in belief, then Christ said, everyone that the Father gives me, I'm going to raise him up in the last day. And when he raises up, we'll get, guess what? You get to go see the Father. Because Jesus again will say, I am the what? The way. I'm the truth and the life. No man can do what? You can't get through the Father but by me. So you see how they get this whole system as far as it is locked up. God's going to call you. He's going to draw you. He's going to draw you to his son. When you come to his son and believe, he's going to raise you up and he's going to allow you to be able to see the Father in the last day. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23 to 25, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached unto you. So it's the good news. It's the word is going to remain forever. How were we born again? How did you experience this new life and new birth? Peter says that it's through the living and abiding word of God. Further in verse 25, he says that this word, which is the gospel, is what was preached to them so they would be born again. We are born again by the word. To bring this lesson back around, what Jesus is saying to the Jews here in this text is not to grumble, because the problem is not that you don't know the scriptures. The problem, Jesus said, the problem ain't that you know the scriptures. You haven't been taught by God. So here, you can know the scriptures and still not be taught by God. You can know the scriptures like the Jews did. They knew the scriptures. They had an exacting knowledge of the scriptures, but they hadn't been taught by God because they hadn't got the spirit of what the scriptures was trying to teach them. They were searching them, looking for eternal life, but not searching them to look for the testimonies that would tell them about Christ. Had they been searching them, looking for Christ, looking for the Messiah, when he showed up doing all the things that the prophet said he would do, they would have recognized him. And they would have turned to him. And their hearts would have been humble. And they would have followed Christ. But they weren't looking in the scriptures for that. They were looking in the scriptures just to justify themselves and not looking for the Messiah. We have a lot of people who think they have access to God that do not. You know, a lot of people say, I know God. No, you don't. You hear people make that statement? I know God. Me and God is like this. No, you and God ain't like nothing. I know God. No, you don't know God. Because Jesus said you got to be, because if you knew God, guess where they would be? They'd be here sitting next to you. They ain't been taught of God. Jesus said you have to be taught by God. Yeah, you might know God. You know who he is, but you ain't been taught by him. That's what he's telling the Jews. They knew God. They knew who he was. They had a history. God was in their history. But Jesus is coming as he came. And because they didn't recognize him, Jesus is saying, you ain't been taught by my Father. Because if you were taught, he told them in chapter 5, if you knew my Father and really understood his words, you would know me. Because everybody in the world, Moses then wrote about me. He told some other folks, David calls me Lord. So how does this, all of this in the scriptures talk about me? David called me Lord. Moses wrote about me. And now I come here doing what the prophet said that I was supposed to do. And you don't still recognize me. You don't know God. God had not called them. God had not drawn them to Christ. Because if they had, they would have known God. They would have recognized the Messiah when he came. They would have been willing to recognize him, but their hard hearts would not let them recognize the Messiah. So we have a lot of people who think they have access to God, and they really don't. We are nowhere near God if his laws are not written on our hearts. Look at Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah again, where we read earlier this morning, Jeremiah, the laws going to have to be, it's not just a matter of just knowing, but them laws are going to have to be written in our hearts. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." The covenant was made with them at Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments. But he said, my covenant which they break, they broke it. They weren't able to keep it. Though I was there, I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it in their hearts. See, the law before at Mount Sinai was written on tables of stone. But now the Lord says, I'm going to write it in their minds. It's going to be on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, say, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will give their, I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So we look at Jesus. Everybody's going to know. The law is going to be written in our hearts. Jesus says in verse 47 that whoever believes has eternal life. Saving faith can only be generated in our hearts when we have been taught by God and his law is written in our hearts. The law is going to be in our hearts. The law's got to be in us. And see, this is the second thing. The next thing is another different lesson. If you read on in this discourse, where Jesus says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's going to cause a lot of people to walk away from the Lord and not follow him anymore. Where Jesus, they're going to stumble over that, eat my flesh. They don't understand when Jesus is saying the flesh. John says the word became flesh, the word was Jesus, and dwelt among us. So when Jesus is saying eat my flesh, Jesus said you're going to have to take my words and consume them. They're going to have to be, when you eat something, it gets inside of you. Food can only do you good when it's what? On the inside of me. I can be thirsty as all get out, and I can sit here and look at this water, and it won't do me no good. When's it going to do me some good? When I drink it. When I drink it, then the nutrients and the stuff in the water can replenish all the electrolytes and everything that I sweated out. But as long as I'm sweating and just sitting there looking at the water, it's not going to do anything for me. But once I drink it, it'll do some good. I can be hungry and sit there and look at a plate of bread, but if I don't take it and bite it and chew it and eat it and get it inside, it's not going to do me no good. Same thing Jesus is saying to these people. You're going to have to eat my flesh. That means my word. You're going to have to get my word on the inside, because Jeremiah said the word is going to be in their minds and in their hearts. It's not going to be on some tables over here, visual, but it's going to be inside of them. And so this is what Jesus is saying. The word's got to be inside of us. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws that person. We are drawn by being taught by God. Consider whether the Jews were ignorant. Considering the Jews were not ignorant of the scriptures, the Jews had a lot of knowledge. They could quote the Torah. They knew the law of God. And so while they were worshiping God, offering their sacrifices, and reciting the law in the synagogues, they were not taught of God. So they were caught up in all this religious activity. They knew the law. They could quote it. They were offering sacrifices. But Jesus says, in all of that, you still weren't taught by God. It's simply because they did not recognize him. So we look at this. So God is drawing you through the scriptures. Why should you read the Bible? Why must we read the Bible? Listening to and reading the scriptures is how God's law is written on our hearts. If the Father is not drawing you to Christ, then you are wandering away. If God's word is not drawing you to be more faithful, to be more productive, to be more active in the kingdom, to be closer to God, if you're not being drawn to Christ, guess what? You're drifting. You're wandering away. You need to look. If the word is not drawing, if God's word is not drawing you to Christ, then you're drifting and you're wandering away. When we listen to God's word, when we listen to God's drawing us to him and to receive Jesus Christ as the bread of our lives, to become our only pursuit, or when we resist and remain in unbelief, just like the Jews. We need to plead with you today that you will listen to the word of God, that you will be drawn, because that word of God, we have to realize that God is teaching us through this word. He's teaching us to deny all ungodliness and unrighteousness so that we can live soberly and peacefully in this life. Look at John 6:37 again. On John 6:45, we see that God draws man by the word. And then it's man's responsibility that everyone that has heard and learned from Christ will come to, everyone has learned and learned from the Father will come to Christ. That's how we come to Christ today. So that's why we need to study. That's why we need to know the word. Because just like the Jews, we can be doing everything. You can be coming to church every week, coming to church. You can be caught up in all the religious activities. You can be working and working in the kingdom and still not be taught of God. Still not be taught, still not know anything of God. Jesus said, you need to learn of me. So it's more than just knowing the word, knowing about the word, but it's believing. We have to come to Jesus. We have to be drawn. We have to come, and to come and to believe means that we yield ourselves. We're in submission to the word of God, that we do whatever it says, and that we're willing to have faith and to believe what God says, believe his word, believe in Christ as our Savior, realize that Christ came here not to take care of our physical problems, but he came here to take care of our spiritual problems. And our spiritual problem was salvation, that we needed a Savior so that we could be saved. And that when we could be saved, then in the last day, when we all get up and have to go before the Father, don't you want Christ to present you to his Father? Don't you want Christ to present you? You know, sometimes, you know, it's important who you know in certain places. When you go someplace, like you go see some dignitaries or you go see the queen, do you just go walk into Kensington Palace and say, hey, queen, we're here? No. You don't just go walk into queen. Number one, you got to be invited. You got to have an invitation. And then number two, when you come in, somebody stands at the door and presents you. Presenting! That's the same thing that's going to happen with Christ. And on the last day in the judgment, we all get up, and we all going to get up. But the difference is going to be, will Christ be standing there presenting you, Father, this Bob Ballas. Father, this Clint Anthony. Or will he be saying, I don't know you. Depart from me. Or will he be there raising you up, and he's going to be presenting you to his Father? Because you came to him, because his Father called you, you was drawn to him, you obeyed him and was obedient, and in baptism, and then the last day, he guarantees, I'm going to raise you up, and then I'm going to present you back to the Father. The one who called you in the first place, I'm going to raise you up, and in the last day, I'm going to present you to him. You're going to have everlasting life. If you don't do this, you're not going to have everlasting life. So we have to be willing to be taught of God. Now, this is not just a one-time thing when we're coming into the faith. Yeah, those of us that come into the faith, we taught by God. But those of us that are in the faith, we are continually being taught by God. Because guess what? This word has so much stuff in it. Yes. Put your hand up if you learn everything that God wants you to do. Go, I'll wait. You didn't learn everything God wants. No. We are constantly learning what God wants us to do. And then when we start doing this, guess what? We got to go back and review because we probably forgot something. We need to love one another. There's a lot that God wants us to do. So it's a lot just to learn what God wants us to do and not to forget what we've already learned. So we're constantly learning or relearning. So we'll be doing this for the rest of our life, being taught by God. God's going to teach us, and as God continues to teach us, guess what? We're going to be continuing to be drawn to Christ. We're going to be more and more want to be like Christ, be with Christ, be in his presence. If you're not drawn to Christ, you don't ever want to be around Christ. You don't ever want to be around his people. You don't ever want to study his word. Then you're drifting. God's not teaching you. You're not getting drawn.
But those of us that are getting taught, continue to get taught, we want to be like Christ. We want to be with Christ. We want to be with Christ's people. We want to be with other people who are trying to be like Christ. We want to be with other people who are trying to emulate Christ. We want to be with other people who have Christ in their lives. We want to be other people that are talking about Christ. If all you want to be around is people that ain't talking about Christ, something might be wrong with you. But we have a love for the people of Christ, for God's people. We love God's people. And so we want to be around them. We have a desire to be around them. We have a desire to talk about Christ and be with other people who are talking about Christ. And other people are talking about the things of Christ. Because what? We're taught of God. And so we're drawn to Christ. I hope you get this message. It's a beautiful message that Jesus teaches us in John chapter 6. And it's the basis of who we are. You know, we can't get to the Father unless we come to the Son. The Son says you can't get to me unless the Father calls you. So you got to have them both. You got to have the Father draw you and call you through the Word so that you can come to the Son and believe. And then when you come to the Son and believe, then he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying, I'm the pathway, what? That leads to everlasting life so that you can get back to the Father. Who's going to give you that everlasting life? The Father. But you need Jesus to present you. You can't circumvent Jesus because he's the one. He said, I will raise you up in the last day. He's going to present you back to the Father. Say, Father, these here they. Just like in the book of Revelations where John said, who are they? These are those that had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they're white as snow. And they're the ones that he's going to present back to the Father. Hey, these are the ones that did what I told that you told me to tell them what you wanted them to do. These are the ones that did it. And so now I can present them back to you. And that's going to be a beautiful day. But the only way you're going to get there is to be drawn by the Father, come to Christ in belief, and then Christ says, I'm going to raise you up. And God and Jesus said, everyone that the Father gives me, is that like Jesus going to lose you? How many times has somebody lost your reservation down here on earth? Several times. How many times you paid a bill and they lost it? You didn't pay the bill and all of a sudden they send you down and be like, wait a minute. I paid this. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Hey, I got my paperwork. Here's my canceled check. I paid this. Man loses stuff. You showed up for the plane. I got a reservation. No, you don't. It got lost. But Jesus said, everyone that the Father gives me, I'm going to raise up in the last. That's 100%. Friend, that's 100%. He's not going to lose your reservation. If the Father gave it, and so if you, so you can't get up there and say, oh, Jesus, you must love. No, Jesus said, everyone that the Father gives me, I'm going to have them. Then everyone that the Father gives me is going to come to me, first of all. And then when they come to me, I'm going to raise them up in the last day. So that's 100%. So all you got to do, be taught by the Father, and you come to Christ. And that's 100%. And if you come to Christ, stay in Christ, live in Christ, then on the last day, Christ said, I'm going to raise you back up. And I'm going to take you back home to the Father. 100%. You got to come to Christ. If you don't come to Christ, those who don't come to Christ, don't get up in the last day and say, Lord, you must have lost my reservation. You know I was in it. Don't see it. You didn't learn. The Father said, you didn't learn from me. And then Christ is going to say, you never came to me. They are both going to condemn you in the last day. The Father is going to say, you didn't ever learn from me. And then Christ is going to say, well, I have no record that you ever came to me. But when we get in the last day, the Father's going to say, yeah, they learned from me. Christ is going to say, yeah, they came to me. Father, here they are. I present you back to Christ. If you have standing in need of invitation this afternoon, we ask that you come at this time. If you've grown short of the glory, fallen short of the glory of God, you've grown weak in your faith, you need to come back believing so that you can have the faith to go through the trial. The trials are going to come. You're going to be like those disciples. You're going to be out in that rowboat. You're going to be trying to row against life, and the winds and the waves are whipping you. And you're going to feel like you ain't going nowhere. Just like those disciples were frustrated trying to row across, Jesus had put them in the boat, and they were rowing, and they were not getting anywhere. You're going to be like that in your life. You're going to have some times where you feel like you're just out there in the boat rowing. But if you keep and you're consistent, then Jesus can come to you just like he came to the disciples. And when Jesus got in the boat, everything was all right because immediately they were on the other side. Some of us are out here rowing without Jesus. You left Jesus out the boat and you get Jesus back in the boat by living right and living for Jesus so Jesus can get back in the boat with you. Otherwise, you're going to be out there rowing against the waves. And the waves and the winds are going to come, but they'll be all right if Jesus is with you. When Jesus was with the disciples, everything everything was fine. So, but if you're outside the body of Christ, you need to come by faith in Christ Jesus, believing that he came to save man from his sin. You need to believe that because you heard and been taught by the Father so that you can come to Christ. And then you can come to him in faith. You can come to him believing. You can repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ Jesus, and we can baptize you for the remission of sin. And then in the last day, Christ said, I'm going to raise you up and present you back to my Father. So if you're the subject of the invitation anyway, we invite you to come at this time.
Live.